On the way over here this morning, I noticed that there was a sign out in my Menards saying, helpers needed, ark builders. Oh, praise the Lord. Is it well with our soul? The one phrase in that song that just really hit me as we were singing at the end, is it well with my soul? And then it says, keep your eyes on Him. Probably one of the biggest things that we struggle with the most as Christians is that very thing right there of keeping our eyes on Him. We have a tendency to look at what's happening around us through our eyes and not look at them through His eyes. It's a whole different perspective when you're looking at a situation and up at a situation. You know, it's like looking up at the clouds up above us and we say, well, the sun is not shining, but it really is still shining. It's just that there's something that we can't see. God can see all of it. So somehow we can switch and begin to look at His perspective of circumstances and situations. Things change. I think that the 24th is on Thursday. Is that right? Thursday, something like that. Friday. 61 years ago, my life and my family's life changed. My father died of a heart attack while he and I were fishing together on May the 24th, 1958. And things got different. The world kind of fell apart. It became more confusing. It was, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. I understand what young people who lose a parent goes through. And been there, done that, walked that road. Didn't like it and still don't like it. But it was a reality. And how it changed. My mom and dad, my mom was a school teacher, a vice principal. Her life was basically all wrapped around the school, and we understand that. My dad was the foreman for the Barron County Highway Department for building roads, and they were in the process of building a lot of roads, Highway M, 48, all kinds of roads that my dad supervised. And you know, actually, I felt my dad even take and plan them out. So both of them were busy. So they would hire during the school months. We would have a hired girl, and that lady would come in on Sunday night and be there for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Then she would go home, and she took care of a lot of the stuff that was going on in the house. So our lives were pretty normal, you know. But all of a sudden, Dad's not there. The funds are not there for a hired girl. And so I'm 14. My brother was 18. My oldest sister was 12. My youngest sister, Kathy, was 9. And so we had to kind of fill in the gap. And I became the cook. I still enjoy cooking. The most fun I have is when there's nothing planned and I go and I open up the cupboard door and just kind of take a look at what we got and begin to kind of put it all together and see what I can create. Most of the time, it's not bad. Then there are times. My older sister, one of my sisters took care of the cleaning, of the house and laundry. The other sister took care of the cleaning, and the other sister took care of the laundry, and one of them, you know, washed dishes. I helped. I mean, my brother was working. My mom was, again, working two jobs, type of thing. Our life was different. There's no way you could get around it. And we all had to just kind of take and do with what we had. And I'm sure that a lot of you can identify with that. You get into a situation, and it's so easy today just to go out and have something done. You know, and that's really kind of nice. But if you don't have the wherewithal to get to do that, you end up having to do some of it yourself. And that's where the interesting things come in. Last week, there were some key elements of that message for me. One of them was Sydney's testimony. Do you remember Sydney talked about the fact of, again, not really having a mother image in her life, and her sister Shanae became that element and so forth. And Lois and I have kind of been a part of that because we worked a lot with Sydney and Shanae. She was homeschooling and had not been homeschooling for over a year, and so I kind of became a teacher for her, and we worked with her for a year, and we got her her high school diploma and so forth. And the thing that so gripped me by the message last week about that is the fact that we never know people when God is using us to fill a particular need in somebody's life. See, so if we're listening to the Lord, listening to the Holy Spirit is going to direct. You see, we think that one person takes care of our needs, but what happens if that one person is not there? Who's going to do it? You know, who's going to fulfill that? Pastor Ken and Connie back here have been becoming. I'm not sure what word to use. I want to use the word surrogate, but that probably doesn't do the right word. But they're kind of they're what? Oh, you're more than a host, though. See, that's the whole thing. You started out as a host. I agree, but you have become parents in many ways to ICE. And you know, it starts a lot of times. It starts out this year, but all of a sudden it switches gears, and all of a sudden the meaning of what you're doing becomes totally different than what it was to start out with. But listen to me, people. If you never open yourself up to be used of the Lord, you'll never experience the joy that it brings to you and the fulfillment. The other part of the message last week that really spoke to my heart was that word. Remember, you talked about not worrying and being content? That's a tough word, content. So I looked it up, in the Greek it's archaeo. To be sufficient, contentment. And then listen, this is what it said, which really spoke to me. Freedom in relationship to external goods, wants, and desires. How many of you would really like to be free of all the external wants, desires, needs? Anybody but me? I don't like being controlled by all that stuff. But see, if we're content, but where are we content? What are we content in? We're content in our relationship with Jesus. It also means, listen to this, contentment is a confident confidence in God's adequate provision. Wow. See, that's where contentment is. Contentment is in who God is. In Genesis 17:1, it says, I am God Almighty. Now, in my mind, God Almighty is the fact that He is God who is all might, right? So if God is God all might, then all might is of God. So if I need something, He is the one that provides. Y'all are looking kind of... Well, let me go on. Let's see what the rest of this thing says. In the Old Testament, the people were kind of self-sufficient. God would take care of their need, then they'd go off. How many have read through the whole Bible? Don't lay your hands. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I've been doing that, and I've just gone through Chronicles. Whew, that's a boring book. But here's what I've seen. I've seen when they had the kings, all 1st, 2nd Kings and Chronicles, they would have this king and he did what was pleasing in the sight of God, and he would be in there for 12, 15, 20, 30 years, whatever. And the church or the body of the believers and so forth, the Israelites, it was good for them. Things would happen. And then the next king would come along and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And I'm terrible. I couldn't believe it. And you would think that one time going through all the stuff that they had to go through, especially after, was it Nebuchadnezzar? Whoo, what a dude he was. They never learned. But then I started looking at people I've worked with in different places, and especially the guy that look at in the mirror. And we never learn either. And in the New Testament came a whole other thing. It's trusting in Him who is our provision, dependence upon Him. And one thing I've learned as I have begun to depend upon Jesus Christ, that He is the God that is more than enough. Well, there's a story in the Bible that I want to just go through, and that hopefully we can learn something from it. Feeding of the 5,000. Here's the statements of Jesus, and you got to read the story in all four of the Gospels to get all of the statements. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. How many loaves do you have? Go and look. Bring them here to me. Have everyone sit down. That's the five things that Jesus basically, that's recorded that he said. All right? So here's the events that were leading up to the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is rejected by his friends and family in his hometown. So he experienced this thing of rejection. Okay? How many like rejection? Anybody here want to thrive on reject? Do you just love being rejected? Anybody? I don't think Jesus did either, all right? But yet he goes to his hometown, the people he grew up with, the people that supposedly should be loving him, and he was rejected. He ministers to a number of people. He hears about his cousin, John the Baptist, who dies, who has been killed. He sends out his disciples. And they go out two by two, and then there's a period of time, and now they come back, and so he sits down and meets with them. And they're both kind of emotionally and physically tired, so the Bible says they go to a quiet place to rest. And walk with me and live with me for a minute, okay? Get yourself into the position. So here you are, you've been out ministering to people, you've seen people healed and set free and demons and so forth, and I mean, it's an exhausting work and so forth, and so you're going to this quiet place, and you're just going to have this time of quietness with Jesus, and you're tired, wore out, and here comes the people. And with the people came problems and needs. People who are going through physical things, emotional things, and there they're coming. And you want to go, It's like being a mother and you want to go and sit down and just rest. And all of a sudden there's a knock on the door and two or three little ones come in. Mom! Or you're the father and you come home after a day's work and you walk in and you just want to go and sit down and just kind of get into that nothing box and just relax. And all of a sudden there's three or four little kids climbing over the top of you and they're arguing about this or fighting about this or getting on each other. And you just go, oh man. That's kind of the feeling where they were. Here come all these people. Now it's getting late, and you're in this quiet, desolate place. Everybody's starting to get hungry. How many of you ever heard the phrase, are we there yet? If you've ever had children, you've been around or been around children, pretty soon you're going to hear, I'm hungry. What are we going to have to eat? What's there to eat? My son would say that 5 minutes after he was done eating. He'd say, I'm dying of hunger, Mom. What do you got? Everyone's hungry. Kids are crying. Parents are frantic because they don't know what to do. They didn't plan on staying this late. All right? Others are getting irritated because the kids are that person over there. You've been to a restaurant? And you sit down, it's just you and your wife, you're on a quiet time, and you happen to be, you know, sitting there, and in comes a family of six or seven over here, and there's three or four over here, and the kids are beginning to, you know what I mean? Jesus' response to all that is this. I love it. They don't need to go away. Because the disciples, he had come to him and said, Lord, what we got this problem, Lord. There's not enough, you know, the kids are hungry. They're crying. Can't you hear them, Lord? You know, it's like he turned a deaf ear to them. Come on. And all this commotion that's going on, and they're trying to get Jesus to send them away to go to someplace and maybe borrow some food or get some food from somebody, you know, because they didn't have enough money for it. And so this is the circumstance that they're in. And Jesus says, they don't need to go away. Now, I want you to put yourself in the disciples' shoes. What would you say? The struggle I have with the problem with the disciples at that time is, where had they just been? They had just been out two by two working with people, and they had seen demons cast out. They had seen people healed of sicknesses, and they had been watching God work in mighty ways as they prayed for people. And yet now, see, all they could see was the problems, the sea of problems. And they go to Jesus and try, and he says, they don't have to go away. And then he says this. You give them something to eat. And here's how I see it happening. Jesus says, you know, the disciples are, come on, Lord, we got to do something. What do you mean they don't have to go away? Well, you know what? And he says, you give them. Say what? You give them something to eat. We don't have anything. We didn't come prepared for us. Typical. Especially for we men. Most time that's a women's job, right, guys? I tell you what, I've got a memory that just popped into my mind. It had to be back in 1956, 57. Dad was still alive. We went over to Silver Lake. You ever been to Silver Lake Park? Well, at that time, it wasn't a park. You had to crawl underneath the fence and go through the pasture from the road to get back to Silver Lake. So we got back there, and Dad brought along a camping stove and all that stuff, and he poured in that little white gas, and he pumped it all up and had it all right there. And he turned to Mom to say, you know, where's the frying pan? Mom didn't do it. She didn't take care of it. And I never saw my dad get angry very much at all that I have a memory of, okay? But I remember that he didn't say a word. He packed things up, and we started back. And, of course, we wanted to be swimming. I mean, the sandy beach there, we wanted to be swimming and so forth and have some hot dogs and whatever. And we're back crawling under the fence, getting in the car, and going home. And Dad was not visibly upset. She was. Okay. Go from there. Anyway, so I can see this. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. You. Who's he talking to? The disciples. And give. That means you provide what they need. And I'm going, all right, if I was one of the disciples, what do you mean? I don't have that ability. In Matthew 9, chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, gives us chapter 9 of Matthew. In chapter 9, 1 through 8, gives us a day in the life of Jesus. Here's what happened in his life. A paralytic is forgiven, criticism from religious leaders, a word of knowledge comes, Jesus heals the paralytic, calls a disciple, that's a pretty big thing, word of wisdom comes, has a meal with some sinners. He gets criticized by the religious leaders, confronted by the disciples of John the Baptist, a small debate. Father pleads for help, for his daughter has died. Heals a woman with the issue of blood on the way to the father's where the daughter had died. Confronts a crowd of mourners. They had professional mourners back then, doing a lot of countries even today. He raises a girl from the dead, heals the eyes of two blind men, casts out a demon or two. I'd say that was a busy day. That would be my interpretation. And here's what I saw as I read through that. He took care of every need. Wow. So now he says to the disciples, they don't have to go away. You give them something to eat. And then he says this. Well, let me just go to John 17:21. Do we have that? John 17:21. My prayer for all of them is that they will be one, just as you and I are one, Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us, and the world will believe you sent me. Wrong scripture. John 5:19. Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Here's what I see as I've dealt with people through the years. See, Jesus healed all that were sick. He touched all the lives. He took care of the needs. And I asked the question, why? How could he do that? And here's the answer that I get. The answer that most of us use. And let me ask you, how could he do that? Dick, how could Jesus do that? Healed, took care. Anybody. He's God. That's the typical answer. But in John it says, Jesus said, I assure you, by myself, I can do nothing. By himself, he could do nothing. And then if you go down to John 14:10, it says this, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his works through me. And we need to realize today, we need to grab a hold of this, people, and that is this. How many of you are believers? How many believe in Christ? See, Jesus Christ is where? We're in here, right? Am I right? He's in here. And God the Father God El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, Almighty God, is in Christ, and Christ is in us. So where is God Almighty? In us. And we are in Him. See, that's why I said at the beginning, we need to stop looking from our perspective and begin to focus on His perspective. See, there's absolutely nothing that Jesus can't do. Nothing that the Son of God, that God Almighty can't do. Nothing. And so if we see that and understand that, and that's what Jesus is doing, because He is our example of how we can live. He put down, He set aside His position and became a man like us, but He was a man that was in dependence of His Father. He was a man that was totally surrendered to the Father. He lived in contentment. He was content because of who His Father was. See, we can do that too. He's our example. And if we begin to understand that and see who it is that's in us, not who it is that we serve, but who it is that was in it. If He is there, that everything is there that we need. Remember how I said that when my father died, we had to fill in the gaps, and so you had to work with what you got? See, we need to understand what we have. See, that's what... And so Jesus, in this situation, He says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. See, He was seeing it from His perspective. He was seeing that of all the possibilities. And they were going, what do you mean? Their reaction was, it's impossible. Can't do it. Jesus said this, how many loaves do you have? In other words, what have you got? And then He said, go and look. And I, that is so typical of us. How many times have I said to Lois, Lois, do you know where my whatever keys are? And she looks around, no, I can't see them. Most times you said, well, you find them yourself. Which is probably a good thing to say. But isn't it interesting how here we where are my keys? And you kind of go like this here, I can't see them, I don't know where they are. One time Lois said, Arb, do you know where my glasses are? I said, yeah, on your head. She had them up there like this. Okay? But you see, that is typical of us. And so Jesus simply said, you know, what have you got? And they're going, well, I don't have anything. Well, go and look. And this is the fun part. I love this part. There was 5,000 men, and by the way, they counted the men by those who were eligible to fight in the army. So 18 to whatever, okay? You got that? 5,000 men in that age bracket. So how many people do you think were there? At least 10,000 people, if not more, probably closer to 15,000, all right? So get this. Let's just say 10,000 people. They're looking around for something to eat. And there's this little boy. I can see him over there. He's sitting down on this little rock. And he pulls out this little blanket thing that his mom sent with him. He lays it out on the... And he pulls out his lunch bucket. And lunch bucket. That filters my age, his sack or whatever, okay? And he lays out 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and puts his napkin up in his neck and he's sitting just about ready to take a bite. And all of a sudden there's shadows that come over the top of him. And he looks up and there are 12 disciples looking down. Because that's the only food they could find. See, and then he hears Jesus say, look and see, and then bring it here to me. And the little boy goes, oh, no. And they reach down and pick up the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and carry it off to Jesus. Now, I hope, this is my hope, that the very first person they served was that little boy. He deserved it. He had the only mother that prepared the whole thing. She sent him with a lunch. Nobody else did. All right? And I hope that one of the 12 baskets that came at the end, he was able to carry home to mom. I mean, I don't know that, but I suspect that probably that might have happened. Okay? God Almighty was in Christ Jesus, El Shaddai. And then Jesus says, everyone sit down. They sat down and groups of 50 and 100. Little order there. That's what they needed. Jesus takes the bread and the fish and he prays over it and he hands it to his disciples and they begin to distribute it. I would love to have been there. Now I figured 5 loaves, so they broke those in half, so that took care of 10 disciples and the other 2 had the fish. Okay? And I can see Moses walking out there, or Moses, Peter, another Moses type, Peter, and he breaks off a piece of bread and he gives it to the first person. And he, you know, he takes his eye and looks back down and the bread is the same size as it was and he breaks off. I mean, that had to be one of the most exciting times. I don't know about you all, but when I put myself into the Word, And try and see what they were going through. It's exciting. Man, I can see the disciples moving gingerly up to that first person and giving them half of what they had and looking back down and the half of what they had, that's whole again. And so I believe that at a point they began running. And last night I was watching NASCAR had the All-Star race last night, and the guys were being introduced, and all the team came out with them, all the guys that work on the cars, and everybody had hats, and they were flinging them out into the crowd like this here. And I began to see the disciples running around just I couldn't. They were trying to get rid of it. Oh, they're just I can just see it. Excitement. See, Jesus knew all this all the time because he knew that the Father, El Shaddai, was going to take care of it. So my question to you today is this. You live in a world that is filled with people who are hungry. People who are hurting. See, I know what this guy right here has gone through. How old are you? Been there and done that. Not easy, is it? Aiden came up this morning for prayer and I said, what can I pray with? He said, and you know, just mama, mother, mom. But you know what? I can remember that. I can remember climbing up on the top of the garage roof on the back side of it. So I was so tired of people coming and because, you know, I was there feeling sorry because I was, but nobody was speaking to my heart. I remember that time. And the people out there today, people are hurting. They're locked up in chains of some kind of a disease or some kind of an addiction or whatever. There's all kinds of hurts out there, people. And people who need to be set free of things. Jesus came to be set people free and to set the captive free and so forth. He's still doing it, but he's doing it through us. And he's still doing this. People, they don't need to go anywhere. You take care of it. He didn't say, church, let the church take care of it. He didn't say, let the pastor take care of it. He said, you take care of it. Peter, you're just a fisherman. You're not a pastor. You're just a fisherman. You take care of it. You see, our problem, people, is this. Our vision only goes this high. Start realizing who you are and whose you are and who it is that is within you. Let me give you an idea of what you have at your fingertips. When you are born of God, you're born into the Spirit. When you are born again, you're born into the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you. And if you've been had the privilege of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, then here's what's within you. The Holy Spirit is within you. He is the Parakletos. He is the one sent to walk alongside of you. He's your guide. He's your teacher. He's your provider. He's got everything there is for you to grow in God. You've got Him to share with those people who are hurting. And if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in you. Or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long, all this stuff. If somebody needs peace, they've come to the right person. Because within you is the God of peace. Are you listening? He's God Almighty. He's El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. And the feeding of the 5,000, learn by it. What happened? The needs were taken care of, but He's the God that's more than enough. 12 baskets full of food came. You've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith. Somebody needs faith, they've come to the right person. You see, people, that's who we are, and that's what we have at our fingertips. That's the cupboard that we open up to see what we're going to cook and what we're going to take care of the needs. It's this cupboard that was, and listen, it's never ending. Lois wants me to build her a pantry, and I'm going to be doing that. Notice I said I'm going to be doing that. And that pantry is only, you know, it's going to be, you know, so big, so whatever. But God's pantry, people, it's never ending. It's never ending. You see, we're looking at it the wrong direction. From where we are, from where I am, I see all this stuff that has to get done, and we get overwhelmed. But if we walk and get up and stand up where He stands, and He looks down, and he, plus He's the God that's more than enough. People don't need to go away. They don't need to walk away because of their needs. You take care of their needs. You be the instrument to take care of them. That's all Jesus was. He was God's instrument. He put His faith and His trust and His belief in His Father, and His Father then worked His miracles through Him, spoke His words through Him. Jesus didn't have to come up with all the answers. God is the one who gives the answers. You just got to be listening to what He says and share the answer with the person. See, that's all the disciples were. And you read the book of Acts and you see all the things happening through the hands of the disciples, through Peter and then later on through Paul, all this stuff. Man alive. Was it because they were somebody that was so different and so supernatural? We think that we have to be somebody special in order to be God used? No, 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 no. I wish all of you could stand over here and watch the little guy right here. He might bother you because he gets a little bit loud and sings words before they are there or after. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. You can't stand and watch him without getting excited for Jesus. Amen. No way can you do it. And if you are in any way critical of him, then come up here and watch. We sit back, and I don't know what the song was, but you're making this statement of affirmation, and And we're just kind of going, making this statement of affirmation. He's going, nah, 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 nah. And I'm going, man, I'm coming up short in this picture. What have you got? Our church has needs. We need some people who are willing to take care of and, you know, sacrifice. Because you see, you know, there was sacrifice involved. Who sacrificed the most in that whole story of the feeding of the 5,000? The little boy. See, and that's why I'm sure in God's financial thinking and more in math or whatever, I'm sure that he got more. I just in my mind, I could say, you know, send one of that boy home, one of those buckets, one of those baskets. Can't you see him running in the house saying, Mom, Mom, look, where'd that come from? Well, you remember the lunch you gave me? I love it. Come on, people. Our church needs people who are willing to sacrifice. We've got a group of people who does it. Some of us, we kind of sit back and we let it all happen. Every one of us. Because you know what? I believe with all of my heart, those who sacrifice are the ones that are rewarded over and over and over and over again. You cannot, hear me, you cannot outgive God, because He is El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. Everybody say, more than enough.
More than enough.
Say it again. Say it again.
More than enough.
Jesus is more than enough. What in the world are we complaining about? What in the world are we not content about? We serve. We have within us. We follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that is more than enough. And the very fact that He is more than enough, if we are in Him and we are submitted to Him and surrendered to Him and we are depending upon Him, what are we worried about? You see, it really becomes fun. Well, what have you got? Go look until you find, well, this is what I can do. The other day, Lois says, you know, we need a back in this one corner and so forth. We could use, we took the shelf unit we had in there. And she said, well, really could use another shelf because we used that one upstairs. And I thought, I went out in the garage and I said, See, I knew what I was going to be preaching. So I went out in the garage and I said, okay, what have I got? And heard the Lord say, go look. So I started rubbing through this garage, and our garage is so full of stuff right now because we're remodeling three rooms in our house, and we're wanting to have a garage sale. We're trying to downsize, and so we're messed up because of remodeling, and we're messed up because of the downsizing, and we're getting too old to do a lot of it, and it's a mess. So I walked out and I started looking around, and you know what? Lois went somewhere to get to the grocery store or something and came back, and I said, how does this look? And I had found boards and stuff and built a nice bookcase shelf unit for her. And she looked at me and says, well, what have you got? Go and look. And she didn't know what I was preaching about. People, I want you to please hear me. There are people all around every one of you who are hurting for some reason, whatever it is. They don't have to go anywhere. Because within you and I is all that they need. His name is Jesus. That's what they need. But they'll never see him until they see us depending upon him, resting in him, at peace within him. Okay? What have you got? Go and look, and the best place to look is in that mirror. And if you are a believer and filled with the Holy Spirit, that person you see in the mirror, within that person is God Almighty, El Shaddai, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos. And that's exactly what takes care of the need. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I am so grateful. So grateful, Father, for all that you have done in my life. Thank you, Father, for all the good things that have happened, and I thank you, Lord, for all the bad things. Because in it all, you've taught me, and you are still teaching me, to be dependent upon you, to be content in you. I pray, Father, that this church will continue to become that lighthouse that the community needs, that spiritual hospital that the community needs, that spiritual center of taking care of addictions that the people around us need, that we continue to become every day that storehouse that people see and turn to, and when they come, they experience a relationship with El Shaddai, God Almighty, the All-Sufficient One. Bless these people, Father. I pray for the hurting here today. I pray for those who are going through emotional things, physical things. Pray, Father, for the captives, those who find themselves in some kind of a prison. I ask you, Father, to unlock the doors, to heal that disease, to take away that thing that's hindering their lives. I ask you, Father, to bless them. And I praise your name for it, Father. I praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.